Mars Incorporated, makers of America's most enjoyable candy bars, present...
Curtain Sky!
Makers of the big new Mars bar welcome you to curtain time. Well, April showers bring May flowers, and the lobby tonight fairly dazzles with spring colors. And here, eager to see the new play, is the well-known man about town, your host, Patrick Allen.
Good evening.
Well, Mr. Allen, what's in store for us tonight?
Comedy and romance, Myron.
But there's the overture. We better hurry inside the theater
for tonight's production of Curtain Time.
Tickets, please. Thank you, sir. Seventh row center. Seat 7 and 8.
Thank you. Well, it's nearly time for the lights to be dimmed, so let's look at our program. Harry Elders and Nanette Sargent, supported by the Curtain Time Players, are starred tonight in Dear Molly Merridew by John McGreevy. Mr. Elders plays the part of Jim Woods, and Miss Sargent will be heard in the title role.
Curtain Time!
There's the call for the first act of Dear Molly Merridew. The scene is the office of Busby J. Kirk, managing editor of the Metropolitan News, which is located on the top floor of the skyscraper called Norton Tower. Well, at the moment, Kirk is talking on the telephone. And he's rather uneasy, too, because the man at the other end of the connection is none other than C.K. Norton himself.
Yes, C.K., I know, and I can't tell you how sorry I am. Oh, now, C.K., you wouldn't really sue us. We've been friends for years. And I know that you own Norton Tower, but our lease. You mean you'd really break it? Certainly I know you think the world of your little girl, and I'll do everything I can. Yes, C.K., everything. Goodbye.
Oh, brother, just wait till I get my hands on that little meddler. Send Molly Merridew in here right away. Here we've got millions of readers, and she's got to offend C.K. Norton. I knew she was a mistake. I knew it.
Good morning, Chief. Aggie said you wanted to see me.
Well, Aggie was right, you Benedict Arnold, you quizzling.
But what's the matter? If it's that special column for something...
Why did you do it?
Why did I do what?
Do you remember what you said when you persuaded me to let you write that infernal advice to the Lovelorn column?
Yes, I said, Mr. Kirk, there are thousands of readers who are unhappy because they haven't found themselves, romantically speaking.
Yes, that's what you said.
I also said, if you let me do a daily column for the news and help those bewildered lovers, they'll be our friends forever.
And I believe you. Me that was weaned on printer's ink.
Well, you can't deny that Molly Merridew's mailbag has been popular. Look at the letters I get.
Miss Merridew, I'm not interested in the mail you get.
You're not...
No, I'm only concerned with the way you answer it.
But
did you or did you not receive a letter from Jessica Norton?
Well, I get so many letters that
did
I...
Did you?
Well... Yes, I did.
Uh-huh.
I answered it in my column the day before yesterday.
I'll say you answered it, and do you know that because of your answer, Miss Norton broke her engagement?
Well, that's what I advised her to do.
Did you also advise her to cry night and day?
Her engagement was a definite mistake.
Oh, sure. Well, her father's suing the news for $1 million.
Well, it seems to... She's suing the news.
I just talked to C.K. Norton on the phone.
Well, but I only told her what she should do for her own happiness.
Well, you should have told her what to do for her father's happiness.
Jessica shouldn't marry that young man, and I told her so.
You told her so, and she broke her engagement, and she hasn't stopped crying since.
Mr. Kirk, it enriches people to suffer.
Maybe so. But it does not enrich C.K. Norton to listen to Jessica sniffle 24 hours a day. He claims we've shattered her life.
I never shattered anyone's life. I merely told her what I thought.
And what you thought may ruin this newspaper.
Oh, but I had no idea.
That I can believe.
Her fiancé sounded like an impossible boor.
Her father says that he's the only sensible young man Jessica's ever been interested in. And C.K. gave the romance his blessing.
But he just wants to use that young man to fight his political battles. I'm thinking of Jessica's happiness.
Well, she's not happy. CK's not happy, and believe me, I'm not happy.
Oh, but I don't...
Molly, if you don't straighten this whole thing out and get CK Norton off my neck, you can take your mailbag and...
But my column is the most popular feature in this paper.
Look, there won't be any paper unless Jessica goes back to that boy.
You mean... You want me to reverse myself?
You get those two together again and stop Jessica sniffling, or so help me.
Are you Busby J. Kirk?
Yes, but you can't come crashing into my office like this.
Oh? Well, I ought to punch you right in the nose.
Dear me, such forcefulness.
You keep out of this. What do you want, and why should you punch me in the nose?
Kirk, I came here to smother Molly Merridew in her own mailbag.
Oh, no.
Such forcefulness.
Why do you want to smother Molly Merridew?
Because she's prying, meddling, misinformed, and she hasn't a shred of decency or common sense.
Ah, my boy, have it, yeah.
And what do you know about decency or common sense, you gate crasher?
I was engaged to Jessica Norton, and...
Jessica Norton?
Oh, no.
Yes. Her father approved, the date was set, and then Jessica, she's a little flighty, made the mistake of asking this Merridew monstrosity a simple question. And bingo, no engagement.
Has it occurred to you that Miss Merridew, with her experience and understanding, may know what is best for Jessica?
Well, she doesn't know what's best for Molly Merridew, or she'd have kept her poison pen out of it.
Okay, what are you going
to
do?
Why, I'm dragging this moth-eaten Beatrice Fairfax of yours out to Jessica.
I'll have you know I'm not moth-eaten.
Oh. So you're Molly Merridew.
Yes, I am. And the longer I listen to you, the more I know that what I told Jessica was absolutely right.
Look, who do you think you are that you can tell Jessica that we won't be happy together when you don't know either one of us?
Maybe I don't, but I understand love. I've made a study of it.
Huh, is that a joke?
I fail to see anything that's better.
Miss Merridew, you're too pretty to waste your time meddling in other people's lives. You live your own life and let us live ours.
Now, just a minute, Mr.
Woods. Jim Woods.
Mr. Woods, never discount a woman's intuition. I sense that you and Jessica were in tune with each other.
Just the same, you're coming out to the Nortons with me right now and tell Jessica you made a mistake.
I should say not. I never make a mistake.
Well, I did when I hired you.
Come on, Miss Merridew.
Now, you take your hands off of me. I'm not going anyplace with you. And the advice I gave Jessica Norton still stands.
Molly, you remember what I told you. If C.K. Norton sues us, no more mailbag.
What's more, Miss Merridew, I'm a lawyer.
So dandy.
I happen to know that if I strangled you right here, there isn't a jury in the world that would convict me after reading that column of yours.
Mr. Woods, you're a violent young man.
That's why he's wrong for Jessica. She has inner peace.
Mr. Kirk, you'd be violent, too, if you were all set to get married and some... illiterate gossip.
Mr. Woods, I...
Come on, Miss Merridew. It won't take half an hour.
I refuse to budge.
Jessica won't listen to anyone except you. She says you and she are spiritually attuned.
That's true. We are.
Look, are you going to come quietly? Yeah,
you'd better go, Molly.
I'll have you know I won't be bullied by you, Busby Kirk, or by C.K. Norton, or by this defensive war.
Miss Merridew...
I'll not be swept off my feet by your ridiculous demands. I stand on my constitution... Mr. Woods, put me down!
I asked you to come quietly.
But this is kidnapping. Now, you put me down, you beast of fiction. Sir, stop him.
I'll have her back in an hour at the most, Mr. Kirk.
Oh, that's all right, Mr. Woods. No hurry at all.
You can't do this to me. You can't.
Miss Merridew, if you don't behave yourself, so help me, I'm going to drop you right smack on your deadline.
On the first act of tonight's Curtain Time play, starring Harry Elders and Nanny Sargent. And now, Myron Wallace.
There are some rare little treats which we come across only now and then during the years, but one treat that you can always enjoy wherever you may be is the taste treat of the big new 10-cent Mars bar. Here is truly delightful candy enjoyment. Every bite rich with the flavor of the choicest candy ingredients. The extra thick milk chocolate coating is specially blended pure milk chocolate, heaped extra high and crisp with fresh, whole toasted almonds, all over a creamy, rich, snow-white nougat center. It is this rare flavor combination that makes the big new Mars bar truly one of the greatest of candy triumphs. When you feel like treating yourself to the finest quality candy bar of them all, just try a Mars bar.
Because of the second act of Dear Molly Merridew, brought to you by the makers of the big new Mars Bar. When Molly Merridew, who gives advice to the lovelorn in the columns of the Metropolitan News, told heiress Jessica Norton to break off her engagement, she got herself and her paper into a peck of trouble. What's more, Jim Woods, Jessica's former fiancé, dropped in on Molly and carried her off to the Norton mansion, where she's to tell Jessica she was wrong. Well, now, a few minutes later, Jim and Molly are in a cab on their way to the Norton.
Are you really as angry with me as you look?
And why shouldn't I be angry? Carried through the office like a sack of potatoes.
You never saw a sack of potatoes that looked like you.
If you think you can change my mind about you, Mr. Wood, by turning on your courtroom charm, please save it for your next case.
Well, I was just trying to be pleasant.
I suppose you think I'm going to tell Jessica to marry you?
Why not?
Why not?
Yeah.
Do you really love her?
Why, it's none of your business.
Mr. Wood, love is my business. Helping to find love for other people is my profession.
Oh? Well, have you ever tried looking for yourself?
Now who's crying?
I am, but only in self-defense.
You didn't answer me. You love Jessica.
Then you didn't answer me. Have you ever tried looking for love yourself?
Are we nearly there?
We're almost there. Now, are you going to walk in or will I have to carry you?
Oh, I am. I rather enjoyed being carried before. Do you make a habit of carrying Jessica around like that?
Of course not. Jessica's not that sort.
Oh? What sort do you mean?
The sort that men pick up and carry.
But I am?
You definitely are.
Is that good?
Could be.
It's strange that I should be the sort of woman men pick up and carry.
Why is it strange?
Because you're the first man that ever did it.
I am?
And you know, I like it. I like it very much. But you never carry Jessica.
Now, see here.
You know, if I were answering a letter from someone with this problem, I'd say...
There's no problem.
Do you know what I'd say?
No, I don't know what you'd say, and I don't care. Come on, driver, step on it. We're in a hurry. Well, now, Jessica, you're all I've got left in the world, and I love you dearly. But if you don't stop that infernal whining...
Oh, you're right, Father. You can't say that my suffering is broadening me.
Well, maybe it's broadening you, but it's flattening me.
Well, Molly married you, understand.
So help me. I thought any daughter of mine would have more sense than to be influenced by a hack like that Merridew woman.
Well, she could tell that Jim and I weren't made for each other. We're star-crossed lovers.
Oh, good heavens. Star-crossed. Now, what in heaven's name is this?
Oh, that's Jim's voice. Oh, dear, another scene.
Yes, and apparently he has a woman with him.
A woman?
Hello, C.K.
Why, Jim. Hello.
C.K., I'd like you to meet Molly Merridew.
Molly Merridew. So you're the sob sister that started all this, eh?
Molly? So this is Mrs. Jessica.
Jessica, Miss Merridew has come here at my invitation.
You mean you dragged me here?
She's come to admit she was wrong about us.
Molly married you. You're not as I imagined you at all. You're so young.
And just young in years, my dear child. Not an excuse.
Okay, Miss Merridew, tell Jessica you made a mistake.
A mistake?
Why, of course, Jessica. She thinks you and I are the perfect couple.
You do?
Yes.
Oh, Molly, do you really?
Well, certainly she does. Anyone can see that.
No, not so fast.
Huh? What do you mean?
I can't be rushed. I must think things through.
But there's nothing to think about.
Jim, our future.
Well, come, young lady. Think and get it over with.
Oh, that's the trouble with you and Jim, Father. Those
Jessica, please.
If your father and Mr. Woods will leave us alone for a few minutes.
Absolutely
Miss
not.
Miss Merridew, you've done enough damage without...
Oh, very well, then. I'll just have to go back to the bakery.
Oh, no, I want you to stay. Father, take Jim out of here.
Now, Jessica...
Come on, Jim. There's nothing else we can do.
You're so right, Mr. Norton.
Oh, okay, but remember, Miss Merridew, what I said about strangling you. No jury would convict me.
Dear me, Jim talks so strangely at times.
Jessica, how long have you known him?
Oh, goodness, for years and years. We had the same playpen. How long have you known him?
For about an hour.
You know, I just can't get over how young you are.
Has Jim always set you up, you think?
Hardly. Most of the time, he's rather dull.
Really?
He and Father talk politics all the time. It's a man's world.
Yes.
Isn't that nice? Well, as I told you in my letter, it would be what's called a good marriage.
Oh?
Father says Jim will be governor someday. And being the governor's lady would be nice.
It certainly would be.
And Jim is sweet. He does anything I ask him to.
But don't you find him a little too forceful and overpowering?
Forceful? Well, I should say not. He's sweet and docile.
Docile?
Oh, no.
But as you said in your answer to my letter, Jim and I just aren't spiritually in tune.
You certainly aren't.
I'm a delicate little melody on a harpsichord. And Jim, well, Jim's just a big bassoon.
Yes, you just don't go together. Jim needs someone to bring out his overtones.
But what about my overtones?
Well, yes, they should be brought out, too.
Mr. Merrydew, are you in love?
What difference can that make between you and Jim?
Well, you think he's forceful.
Oh, just because, well, he seemed that way to me.
He did? Why?
Well, he forced me to come and see you. He was very dynamic.
Then you like him?
Oh, I wouldn't say that. It's just that no one ever picked me up and carried me in his arms before.
He picked you up and... Oh! That's why you think we don't belong together. You want him yourself.
Now, Jessica, I never saw him until
Father.
Today. Now, Jessica, don't be ridiculous.
What in the devil's name is the matter? What's going on here?
Father, Jim, you get this woman out of here.
Jessica, what's she been doing to you?
I pinched her.
She thinks I'm not good enough for Jim.
No, I didn't say that. Not exactly.
And what did you say?
I said he was forceful.
Jessica, are you going to marry Jim or aren't you?
Yes, are you or aren't you?
Well, I don't think she should.
Young woman, I'll sue that paper of yours for $2 million.
Jessica, what the dickens is the matter?
Yes, Jessica, see whether you can tell him without whining.
She can whine if he wants to.
Okay. Let her tell him the way she wants to.
Well, you meddler. I'm going to marry Jim, and the sooner the better.
Ah, wonderful, wonderful. Well, Miss Merrydew, I don't know how you did it, but congratulations.
Oh, don't congratulate me. I think it's terrible.
Now, you see here.
You can't possibly be happy together. You've got nothing in common. You don't even love each other.
We do, too. We're madly in love.
You'll never be in love with anyone but yourself.
Come on, Jessica. You don't have to stand here and listen to that kind of talk.
Then why don't you pick her up and carry her away?
Pick her up?
Don't you dare.
No.
No, of course not. You're right, Jim. He's not the sort.
Miss Merrydew, if you
now
think...
Now, don't worry, Mr. Norton. I'm going. And congratulations, Jessica. I know you'll be very happy. But just remember one thing. If you don't cut off that whining, you'll make a lousy governor's lady.
Before we bring you the third act of tonight's Curtain Time play, starring Harry Elders and Nanette Sargent, here is Myron Wallace.
The next time you are looking for a few moments of real relaxation and pleasure, you will find delightful satisfaction and enjoyment in the taste of the big new 10-cent Mars bar. With each bite of this luscious candy treat, you enjoy the rare flavor combination of the extra-thick milk chocolate coating, heaped high with crispy, fresh, whole-toasted almonds, all over a snow-white nougat center that is creamy, rich, and smooth. Here is the truly delightful treat of candy at its finest. When you feel like treating yourself to the finest quality candy bar of them all, just try a Mars bar.
The call for the third act of Dear Molly Merrydew, brought to you by the makers of the big new Mars bar. After Molly Merrydew met Jessica Norton, she felt that Jim Woods and the whining heiress weren't meant for each other. Her reaction, however, threw them back into each other's arms. Well, it's now the day set for the Norton Woods wedding, and Molly is in the office of Busby J. Kirk, her managing editor.
Now, look, Molly, if you go to that wedding and make trouble...
Trouble?
Don't give me that innocent look. You've had larceny in your heart ever since that day Woods carried you out of this office.
But, Mr. Kirk, don't you think that I'm the logical person to send for the news? After all, I know the background.
You certainly do. You were part of it.
Then it's set.
Okay, and take along a photographer. Get some human interest stuff.
Well, with Jessica involved, it won't be exactly human.
Molly, I told you.
You'll never regret it, Mr. Kirk. Now, just get this headline. Molly Merridew, Love's Ambassador, reports on marriage of ideal couple.
I wish I could believe that.
Mr. Kirk, you'll never regret this. Never.
Come in. Oh, C.K., come in a minute.
Yeah. Well, the crowd's beginning to arrive, Jim. Every big name in the state is here.
Well, I still wish we could have had a small wedding.
But Jessica's always wanted a big one.
Yeah, so that's what we're having.
Yeah, naturally.
C.K., about this...
My boy, Jessica is so excited.
Maybe so, but I can't take that much time off.
Oh, but Jessica's heart is set on that trip to Bermuda.
We can go there some other time. Now, I figure that if we take a quick trip to Niagara Falls...
Oh, no, Bermuda.
Say, you sound like Jessica.
Well, I'm her father. Besides, there's no rush for you to get back to the office. Go to Bermuda. Get rested up.
What do you mean there's no rush for me to get back to the office?
Well, after all, Jessica's my daughter, and what's mine is hers.
Meaning that what's hers is mine?
Well, you might put it that way.
Look, C.K., I don't want your money. I'm keeping my practice.
Yes, but now we want you to concentrate on politics. Jessica's got her heart set on you being governor, and we'll have to start grooming you pretty soon.
What do you think I am, a horse? I don't want to be unpleasant, C.K., but I've got to take a stand.
A stand?
If I don't, I'll be giving in to Jessica for the rest of my life.
Oh, come, Jim. It's such a little thing, and it'll make Jessica happy.
I want Jessica to be happy, C.K., but it isn't such a little thing.
Well, now, my boy...
You know, I've been wondering. Maybe I can't make Jessica happy.
Oh, now, Jim, you're just upset.
But she's always whining, night and day.
But it's just her way. You'll get used to it.
Will I? Have you?
Well,
you
would. Oh, ye God.
Molly, what are you doing here?
Covering the wedding for the news.
Well, close that door.
Okay. I wanted a statement from the groom anyway.
The groom isn't making any statements.
Why don't you let him speak for himself? Or isn't that being done at the better wedding?
Now, see here, young woman. If you came here to make trouble,
Mr. Norton, I'm here because my editor sent me.
Well, it's very funny he sent you.
No, it isn't. He knew I was familiar with the layout.
Why, of all things...
Oh, gee, Molly, you look swell.
Do I? Well, you look worried.
Oh, then you're still giving advice to the lovelorn?
No, I'm doing state reporting now.
So Kirk finally came to his senses, eh?
No, I did.
You mean you gave up the column?
That's right.
But why?
Oh, well, a man told me to stop trying to find love for other people and to look for some of it for myself.
Molly.
Listen, I came here to interview you.
Then interview him and get it over with.
Are you and Jessica leaving on your honeymoon right after the ceremony?
Yes.
Going to Niagara Falls?
No, to Bermuda.
Oh, of course. Niagara Falls isn't tony enough for our next governor and his bride.
Miss Merridew, I warn
you. Molly, what do you think of Niagara Falls?
What? I've always wanted to go there.
See here, it's almost time for the ceremony. You've got to get out of here.
Now, don't rush her, C.K.
There's the music. They'll be sending for us in a minute. Will you please get out of here?
I don't suppose there's any chance of seeing the bride.
None whatsoever.
No!
Jessica, what are you doing?
Oh, my, the groom's not supposed to see his bride before the wedding.
Father, what is this woman doing at my wedding?
Close the door, Jessica.
Molly's covering our wedding for the news, Jessica.
She's not covering my wedding.
The bride was radiant with bared teeth and a snarl.
Miss Merridew, will you please go quietly?
Oh, but I'm having a perfectly lovely time.
Oh, Jim, I'm surprised at you. Just think of you seeing this woman. I don't know what she's doing.
Well, now, Jessica.
But why shouldn't I see Molly?
Yes, why shouldn't he?
Because it's our wedding day.
But I was just giving her an interview.
Jessica, please.
He was just telling me, Jessica, that you were going to Niagara Falls on your honeymoon.
We're going to Bermuda.
We are not. We're going to Niagara Falls.
Oh, he said you against me.
That's not true.
Yes, it is. You ruined everything.
If you love me, Jessica, you'll stop that infernal weeping and agree on Niagara Falls.
Poor Jessica, if you love me.
You keep out of this.
Look, Jessica.
You don't love me. If you did, you'd take me to Bermuda.
You mean that I'd do exactly what you and your father want me to for the rest of my life?
Here comes the bride.
Hey, Jessica, Jim, that's the wedding march. Wedding march.
Okay. Molly, I want to ask you something.
Can you ask that woman a single thing?
But you wrote to her. You asked her about us.
That was different.
Jim, this is no time to ask for advice to the lovelorn. They're playing the wedding march.
Nevertheless, I'm asking. Dear Molly Merridew, I'm engaged to marry a girl who insists on making all our decisions.
Why,
Her father is very rich and also very, very set in his views.
Well, now, see here.
Together, they've mapped out my life for me, including a stay in the governor's mansion.
Jim, this is the...
I don't think I'd like their plans. What do you suggest? Signed, Bewildered.
Father, I won't marry him. He's crazy. He's absolutely...
You will, too, marry him. They're waiting in the church.
Okay, Molly. What's the answer?
Dear Bewildered, don't do it. Don't let them run your life for you.
Father, I'm going to faint. I just know I am.
You're too forceful to be dictated to. Find a girl who loves you for what you are. Sign, a girl who loves you for what you are.
Molly, did you mean that?
Father, I'm going to faint.
No, you said that before.
Molly, let's get out of here.
Jim, you can't do this. Think of Jessica.
If she ever faints, she won't feel any pain.
CK, I have thought of Jessica. I've also decided that I'll never make a good lapdog.
I'll sue you for this.
Go ahead and sue, CK. You see, Jessica isn't the sort of girl you pick up in your arms and carry like this.
Jim, you're so forceful.
Oh, Father. Father, this is more than I can bear.
Okay, Miss Molly Merridew, let's go.
Oh, darling, I'm so happy I could cry.
Well, don't. I can't stand women.
Father, I'm going to faint.
All right, Jessica, go ahead and faint.
The curtain falls on the last act of another Curtain Time play. Brought to you by the makers of the big new Mars Bar. Tonight's Curtain Time starred Harry Elders and Annette Sargent. The supporting players were Margaret Brayton, Sidney Elstrom, and George Caesar. The Curtain Time music is arranged and conducted by Bert Farber. And the entire production is directed by Harry Holcomb. Curtain Time stars return now with a word about next week's play.
Well, Pat, next Saturday, Nanette has the darndest time trying to tell the truth.
Now, Harry, that isn't exactly true. Perhaps I do tell a fib or two.
There you are, Pat. She's rehearsing her part already.
Well, what's the play called?
Pat, I know I shouldn't admit it, but so help me, it's called The Little Liar.
Well, I promise not to use it against you.
Thanks and good night, Nanette Sargent and Harry Elders.
Good night, Pat.
Good night.
Now I'll join this gay theater crowd as it leaves the merchandise mart. Many on their way to the glamorous after-theater spot here in Chicago. Until next week, then, this is Patrick Allen reminding you of your date every Saturday, same time, same station, when the makers of the big new Mars Bar present...
Good Time!
Monday night, be sure to hear Dr. IQ, the mental banker. And next Saturday, be with us again for Curtain Time. Remember, for the finest quality candy bar of them all, just try a Mars bar.
NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.